And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's a marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, praise God Almighty as we jump into the final chapter of the book of Job. It's only been forever. There is much to discuss here, and I'm not going to rush through it. The first thing we hear from Job is his second reply to God. He acknowledges, "I know you can do anything, and no one can stop you." This statement serves as a reminder to every theological genius who dictates how God is required to operate, forgetting that God can do anything he desires and no one can prevent it. Next, it's one thing to talk to God when he's sitting invisible to the human eye on the throne in heaven. It's quite another when he approaches you in a whirlwind with something to say. At this point, Job's wisdom has been restored as he says, "I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance." He expresses profound regret for his words. And finally, Job isn't the only one who faces criticism in this exchange. God then turns his attention to Eliphaz and tells him quite plainly, "I'm really not happy with you and your two friends because you've not spoken rightly about me." It wasn't that they didn't know God, or it wasn't that they weren't saved. Rather, they spoke about a situation in which God had given them no knowledge, and they claimed wisdom about it. And that's what we call a bozo no-no.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. Let me say it really fast and then really slow. Ready? 972. Okay. Or 972-445-0770. When you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages and sizes, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back. Isn't that important, that your spiritual radio family has your back? People pray for one another on a regular basis throughout this audience. Different denominations, fantastic. Do you love Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Are you in a relationship with your Heavenly Father? Do you drink of the same Holy? There you go. That's what we're looking for. The scripture says to keep the unity, which means the unity is there, specifically in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was also, by the way, almost my PhD thesis, just to let you know. So something I got a lot of thought on. Here's the bottom line. If you've got a prayer request, or if you've got a praise report. So if you've got a prayer request and it's like, I got this going on, not sure how to deal with it, I just need help, I just need prayer, let's bring it for the Lord. One of the most powerful elements of all mankind is God answering prayer. I absolutely stutter and shudder when those politicians go, "What are you going to do, pray about it?" I'm sorry, prayer stopped the universe, raised the dead, split seas wide open. Yeah, I think praying about a situation is exactly what we should be doing about it. Also, praise. So powerful to share the things the Lord has done. Joanne had a wonderful testimony. We shared it earlier. It's just powerful to hear. Check out Psalm 40, where God puts your feet on a rock, puts a new song in your heart, and those who hear it trust the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's just awesome. You can do that. You can have that going on. We want you to be able to do that. We want you to be able to share your testimony because testimonies are powerful. They're powerful for people to be blessed. And we want you to be a blessing. We also do this weird kind of goofy thing. It's Bible trivia. Now, the thing about Bible trivia is that it's not perfect. You think, what do you mean it's not perfect? Well, not every trivia question is perfect. So here's a really difficult trivia question. Just let, know if you, let me know if you're ready for it. Ready? Here we go. How old was Jacob when he died? Not you, Jacob. Not Jammin' Jacob. This is the old Jacob.
I'm not dead.
Nope, you're not dead. Not dead. I know, that was not very nice of me, but I was a question, trivia question, right? Was he 137, 147, or 157? Which, by the way, would be a hint that it ends with a 7, wouldn't it? 137, 147, or 157, how old was Jacob when he died? If you really want a reference point, go to Genesis 47. Ha, there you go. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? Here's your big hint. Ready? Big hint. He lived after he saw Joseph 17 years. Ha ha! So now you got to tell him how old he was when he passed. And not our Jacob, the Jacob.
Then you got to do a little bit of math.
Yeah, yep. A little bit of math might be required. Calculators aren't always bad. Okay, in the meantime, we're going to do our DNA. Yes, we're having fun. Don't you feel like we're having fun? We're already having fun. It's a fun day. Sunday, Monday. Monday fun day, right?
I've had fun. Not a perfect day, but hey.
I'll take any day where the Lord says, "I love you, Dave." Any day at all. All right, we'll do our DNA. DNA building blocks of what we are, how we function. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Every day, it, no matter what happens for me, it never fails. It alters after I spend time with the Lord. No matter what it is, just changes. So weird. Well, it's not weird, but it's cool. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D, N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what the Bible says. The world is going to go out of their way to shame you by you being a Bible believer. They'll throw insults at you like, "Oh, you believe in the flat earth," which is ridiculous because Isaiah 40 verse 2 says that God sits over the circle of the earth, which tells you it's not flat. But that's not the point. Only Bible believers know that. Here's the point. They're going to try and shame you. Here's the answer. Don't let them. God's truth is eternal. People's opinions will die with their death. Get it? That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready. Aww.
To serve.
To serve. I'd watch those I'd watch those little sound things. They don't sound like they're working on the computer quite yet. But that's the key, to serve. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And when we serve and think of others and consider of others and take them on and connect to them, we reflect Jesus Christ. Why do you think God saved you and then kept you down here and didn't just zap you and take you? Because you are being changed into the image, step by step and glory by glory, and serving other people as part of that image change. That's why. Excellent job. Good job on that. We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Well, that worked. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. We have a few technical issues here at the old studio, Arudio. The internet's up and down and up and down, kind of like a Dunkin' yo-yo. But it's okay because we're still having fun. We're still having our show. So how are you feeling? How are you feeling today?
Oh, about the same. I'm going to keep praying.
And now we're going to keep praying right with you. So that's not going to change anything that we do. Tenacity is something we're all learning, and we will finalize it when we have no longer left of a need of it, right? That's when you don't have to do it. All right, let's do this one first. Jacob, what a guy. He was how old when he passed? He was 137, 147, or 157?
He was 147.
That is correct, Amundo, sir! He came at 130 years old. He came into Egypt, and then he lived 17 more years. So he was 147. One of the things I find fascinating is when Jacob and Joseph and all the brothers hooked up, 2 years of the famine had passed. So Jacob then caught the last 5 years of the famine, but then also 12 years afterwards after the famine was over. I just thought that was cool. It's like, wow, it just didn't even kind of register that he hung out after there. So, but excellent job. And let me pray for you, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, I come before you right now, and right now I'm just focused on Luke 5:13, which Jesus, you said, I am willing. Because that's it. If you're willing, it happens. So we're asking you to have that same moment with Gary and be willing and heal him from his disease. Heal him from his sickness. Heal him from that which is draining him and taking life away from him. Heal him by the power of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Heal his body from top to bottom, that he might give that great praise of the healing power of God present on this earth, of the kingdom of God manifest. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, and I've prayed for all of you, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, love Gary. Gary's a great, great guy, great brother. You should be praying for him. He's just a great, great, fantastic brother. Okay? All right. Okay, so much to cover and so little time. So I do want to just do a couple of things on this. I want to just do the entry point for Job. So this is Job 42. So we have this week, one more Monday, and then one more Monday. Three more lessons on Job. Okay? Here is... incredible. Here is Job responding to God. Now, what I want you to catch out of this, I don't want you to miss this, okay? What I want you to catch is that this is Job responding to God a second time, okay? Remember the first time he said, I put my hand over my mouth, like, and then the Lord wasn't done, and then the Lord, like, the Lord took him to town on some of it and just like, hey, dude, look, here's how it goes. And just laid it out, right? I mean, it was just so past everything. So now after God is done talking about Behemoth and Leviathan, of chapter 42 of Job, verse 1, it says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. I want you just to hear that. I don't want you to try and stop trying to figure out everything, calculate, stop trying to be, sometimes being theologians is the best thing. Sometimes it's the worst thing. This is where it's the worst thing. Here, it's so simple. Job had it nailed down. He wasn't even a theologian, so to speak. He was just a guy who believed God and wanted to honor and live for God. He goes, look, I know you can do anything and nobody can stop you. So let's understand what we do get, okay? Job acknowledges, he's responding to God for the second time, which means that they had a back and forth. I don't know if you understand that, but if Job says something, then God says something, then Job says something, then God says something, then Job says something. That's a conversation. Okay. Might not have gone the way Job was hoping, but it's a conversation. Why? Because God engages in relationship with his people, and he's having a conversation with one of his kids. And Job acknowledges and what that God can do anything. And what's important about this is for everybody out there to stop saying, well, God can't do this or God can't do this. Of all the things that you're going to say, whatever God does, he does, and no one can prevent it. People say, well, he can't do it because he'd be untrue to his word. I believe that too, but if God decides otherwise, you're not going to say nothing and neither am I. The reason that I say it that way is for you and I to separate ourselves from us trying to give some kind of accountability to God. God owes you, me, Jacob, Jennifer, nobody. He owes nobody an explanation ever. He's not required to respond. You're not entitled to get a response, and God could care less. You're either on his plan and in his boat, or you're not. You don't want to go on the boat? Don't. Go where you want to go. But God will never be accountable to man. Ever. So Job's just like, okay, you can do whatever you want, and nobody can stop you. You know what that is? That's called being humble at the right time. Like right then and there. Okay, take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family trauma specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. I mean, until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly, and that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finished my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why that. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM AMAN 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Here we go. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. Who introduced Paul, when he was still Saul, who introduced Paul to the apostles? Was it Barnabas, John Mark, or Ananias? Who introduced Paul, while he was still Saul, to the apostles? Was it Barnabas, John Mark, or Ananias? Your answer is in Acts chapter 9, verse 27. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. It's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. So the question is pretty straightforward, I think. Who introduced Paul, while he was still Saul, to the apostles? Was it Barnabas, John Mark, or Ananias? That's the question. Acts 9:27 is your location to get a reference. I do want to let you know I received a wonderful praise report from Eddie Otto, and I'm not going to share it today because it's such a good one and it's a little longer. I want to print it out, and so tomorrow, Eddie, I'm going to share that praise report. He heard Joanne's testimony, and it reminded him of another testimony, so her sharing hers encouraged him to share his, and we'll share his tomorrow, and that will be a blessing for people, and when they hear that, hopefully that'll encourage other people to do it as well. Nice job, Eddie. Nice job, Joanne. See what happens is you hear one report, you hear another report, boom, 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 boom. It's a wonderful cause and effect, okay? All right. So for those that don't know, who introduced Paul while he was still Saul to the apostles, Barnabas, John Mark, or Ananias, you can reach out and ask us. In the meantime, I have a brief joke. It's not very funny, but it's very cute. So I need to be judged on the cute scale. You see how I got out of that one right there? That's a good one. So if the sound effects work, it'll work. And if it doesn't, it won't. There you go. Is that good? All right, here we go. A little boy in Sunday school was asked what commandment he would break if he didn't rest on the Sabbath. He said, well, that's the fourth one. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Good, good, good answer, good answer. And then the teacher asked, well, what's the eighth? And he said, do not steal. And then he was asked by the teacher, okay, but then what commandment would you be breaking if you pulled a dog's tail? He hesitated and thought for a second. He said, I don't know what number it is, but it goes like this. What God has joined together, let no man pull apart. Because he pulled the tail apart. I mean, it's cute, right? It's cute if you're like 9 or something. Okay. Hey, all right, one more. Just because that was that bad, we'll do one more. The Sunday school lesson was about the prodigal son. Toward the end of the lesson, the teacher asked, what happened when the prodigal son returned? His father went out to meet him and hurt himself, said Ricky. Hurt himself? No, the Bible doesn't tell us he hurt himself, corrected the teacher. Oh, yes, it does, said Ricky. It says the father ran out to meet him and fell on his neck. See, fell on his neck.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay, I don't blame you for that one. Okay. All right.
You're 0-2.
Yeah, I know. It's probably not the best there. Okay, who introduced Paul/Saul to the apostles? Was it Barnabas, John, Mark, or Ananias? Hey, not every joke is funny. Every show is funny, just not every joke is funny. All right, back to the text we go. If you don't get it, we'll give you the answer in a little bit. But back to Job chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? I just don't want to be in the room when God asks that question. When God says, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? I don't want to be there when that happens. And then Job responds. He says, you asked, who is this who questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. and I was talking about things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. Can we at least give some acknowledgement? To Job's credit, he finally realizes he was discussing things he did not understand. Now, as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian for 45 years, I suspect that when we stand before God and voice any complaints, we might find ourselves repeating this line. I was talking about things I did not understand. Things that are just too wonderful for me. These things Job did not understand. God repeats what he says to Job. Job said to God, listen, he repeats it. He says, I have spoken of things I should not have spoken of. It's at this point in the connection between Job and God that Job expresses his deep regrets for his words. I've told you before, I'm pretty honest with the Lord. I'm not one of those people that I don't couch a lot. I don't have time. I only got 90, 100 years and then boomo. So I want everything on the track, right? And I have said things to God that a person should not say. And afterwards, I have repented, and I look to this verse knowing the mercy and the grace and the kindness of God will still sustain me even though I've said things I shouldn't say, or better yet, thought things that I thought that nobody else heard but God did. Think about that. Think about what you've said that you shouldn't have said. This is Job expressing regret for the words that he has said. Let me explain to you that in Malachi, it says, the Lord says, you have wearied me with your words. You want to push God to the edge? Keep talking about him, especially about things you don't know. I've done that. It's wrong. I deeply regret it. If you've done that, you're not going to remember every single time you did it, but you can come before the Lord, and you should come before the Lord, and say, Lord, forgive me for saying or thinking things that I just shouldn't have done. You don't have to build a monument to it. Most people build a monument to their sin, and they put some kind of plaque on it. And so, don't do that. Just ask the Lord for forgiveness. Recognize it before the Lord. And just like Job, God has mercy on him when he acknowledges. God will have mercy on you when you acknowledge. But if there is things you have said or things you have thought and you have operated in things you did not understand or things that are really just too wonderful for you to get, it's a right move to say sorry and just to humble yourself. I just feel like I do it every other day, but, you know, that's me. All right, who introduced Paul to the apostles? Was that Barnabas? Was that John or John Mark? Or was that Ananias? And it was, in fact, Barnabas, Acts chapter 9, verse 27, who said, you got to hear this guy. This testimony is phenomenal. Okay, we'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of
the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is. Okay. I'm not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to, like, relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Maybe we need a sound effect. Something like that. All right, here we go. Your next trivia question. This is an interesting question. Now, you have to think about the end of the book of Acts, specifically Acts 28:16. What place was Paul imprisoned when he was in Rome? What was his location? Was it a house, a jail, or a church? You need to look that up if you don't know. What place was Paul imprisoned in Rome? Was it a house, was it jail, or was it church? Your answer is Acts 28:16, if you're looking for an answer. You can call us 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website. And we just want you to know on the website is a place to give. And we like it when people give, but we're not giving you a Ferrari or promising you that you're going to be wealthy or anything else. What we're going to get you is a receipt at the end of the year for your donation. You want to partner with the ministry this way? Awesome. You want to do it through prayer? Awesome. You want to do it by, I don't know, just by becoming an ambassador? Awesome. You can do that too. Anything that works for you, great. Let's just advance the kingdom of God together. The scripture for today, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give in as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
That's what our internet did today. Whip, whip, out.
Yep, said see ya.
All right, last on the trip, then we're going to go to history, and then we'll go into the rest of our teaching. What place was Paul imprisoned in Rome? Was it in a house? Was it in a jail? Or was it in a church? Acts chapter 28, verse 16 is where your answer is going to be. Deb and Jeanette are killing it today. Nice job, ladies. 972-445-0770 is the call number. 214-210-8483 is the text. David at hemustincrease.org is the email. Let's do history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, some interesting things on today's history list. Today is National Nacho Day. So it means it's Nacho Day. No, kidding. Like nachos? Just out of curiosity, do you like them?
I love nachos.
Okay. You and my wife would get along smashingly between nachos and tacos. When she goes to be with the Lord, you don't have to worry about, I'll be the, you know, ribs, pizza, steak, all that. She'll just be like nachos and tacos for the first million. And then we'll see where it goes. Today is also National Play Outside Day. Well, it's nice weather today, so that's I don't have a problem with that. It's Saxophone Day. It's great if you play the saxophone. What if you don't play the saxophone? I mean, can you use
it? It's not your day, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great line. It's not your day. That's it. Good job. 1860 on this day, Abraham Lincoln was elected the 16th president of the United States. There's an interesting one. 1869, the first college football game is played between Rutgers and Princeton in 1869. And in 1928, 95 years ago today, the electric razor. Colonel Jacob Schick patents his first electric razor. Schick went on to form Schick Dry Shaver Incorporated. Razor Company became known as the father of the electric razors. I actually do use now, after 25 years, an electric razor on my head as well as a blade, and I love it. So I just want to say good job, guys. Good job. Okay.
That is not sponsored.
That is not. Do we get sponsorships? No, we don't really get. Okay. Donations. You want a sponsorship? No, but we'll promote your ministry or your job or your work. Why? Because we'd like to. That's right. Okay, back to the text, and then we'll finish up on the triv question. Here is what Job has to say next, and I love this because it's I love it because it's authentic. And so for me, the first three chapters, I actually like the first three chapters of Job. And then the last chapter, and then I like chapter 37 too. But this chapter, it's so authentic. This is what he says. Here's Job. I'm going to go through the whole thing. Job replied to the Lord, "I know you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, 'Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance?' It is I." By the way, that is great ownership of one's failings. "And I was talking about things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. You said, 'Listen, and I will speak, and I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I have heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said. I sit in the dust and ashes to show my repentance." He didn't see God fully manifest the way that that Moses wanted to see God, where God can only show him the backside, his back, because to see God in his fullness and his glory would explode you as a finite being. Okay, until you have a new, resurrected, sinless body, that'll never happen. Okay, but God manifested himself to Job, and it was just in a whirlwind. So all this stuff that we talk about, and you pray, and I do the same thing that you do. You know, you go into your private place, your prayer closet, wherever that is, and you're praying, and you know God's on the throne, and you're talking to him, he's invisible. That is substantially different than a whirlwind standing in front of you and speaking to you in the voice of God. Remember, and let's just make sure we have it biblical, God said to Job, "Can you make your voice sound like my voice, like the roaring it is right now?" In other words, God didn't just go, "Hey, Job, how's it going? I'm here in the whirlwind, and I'm just talking to you." That is not the roar of the voice of God. He was like, "Job," and that was coming out of the whirlwind. How'd you like that to happen?
like, Job, it's my turn to talk to you. I mean, that's what you're looking at. And now Job is like, he's come to the realization. So to some degree, let's affirm his previous statement. I've heard about you. Now I've seen you. I take everything back. And I want to say, it's one thing to talk to God when he's sitting invisible to the human eye on the throne in heaven. It's quite another when he approaches you in a whirlwind with something to say. And at this point, Job's wisdom has been restored. What do you mean restored? Well, from chapter 3 to 31, he lost a little bit of his mind. And God had to set him straight. And now he sits there and he says, I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Again, he's expressing profound regret. Wait. For challenging God. Here's the ticket. I don't always know what God is doing in my life. I wish I did. I wish I was smart enough to get it. But when I don't get it, that's when I turn to God and go, what are you doing? That's the moment where you're going, how could this happen? Why is this allowed? Who said this? Why did this? That's what I'm talking about. You might say it differently. I don't. And Job recognizes, now that God has confronted him in the fullness of as much as Job can take, Job recognizes, I'm just going to sit here in dust and ashes just to tell you, I am stupid. I recognize that. Please forgive me. I am sorry. Oopsie. If you think oopsie isn't a theological term, you don't know God very well. It's one we use when we talk to him. He never uses it with us. We just use it with him. Like, oops. Yeah, oops. I'm going to take that back. All of this is to set straight who it is that we're dealing with. It's not a myth. It's not a figment of your imagination. And if God needs to confront you and put you in your place, he will. And when he does, you're not going to have a lot of place to respond other than, I put my hand on my mouth, I sit in ashes and dust, I'm sorry I said anything, I apologize, you're in charge, whatever you want's the case, I surrender to you, let your will be done, don't blow me up. Because that's the part of it. Don't blow me up. Right? You know it's true. Just, okay, yeah, that's true. What place was Paul imprisoned in Rome? Where was he? What was that locale? Was he in a house? Was he in jail? Was he in a church? According to Acts chapter 28, verse 16, he was in a house. For 2 years, he was held up in the house. He did get some liberties, but he was, in fact, held up in a house. That's the place he was at. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for given me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. What a blessing to be on the station. So everybody, we should be very appreciative that we get the opportunity to share with one another. It's awesome. Awesome sauce. Thank you. Here's your last trivia question. This should be a little easier. Not entirely easy, but a little easier. Who was Abraham's second wife? Was it Sarah, Hagar, or Keturah? Your answer is in Genesis 25:1. Who was Abraham's second wife? Now, there's a big distinction there. It's a big distinction there because it's looking for somebody who is an actual full-fledged wife. Okay? So did you see what I did there? So not who was a semi-wife, a full-fledged wife. Who was Abraham's second wife? Okay. Sarah, Hagar, or Keturah? Genesis 25:1 would be your reference point to the number to call if you want to call in. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. Who was Abraham's second full, entirely privileged wife? Was it Sarah, Hagar, or Keturah? Genesis 25:1 would be the goal for you to track that down. We've got somebody calling in. We do have a lot of stuff that's coming up. I wanted to tell you guys just real quickly before we take the caller and get into the teaching, and that is we got some new books that are coming down that I'll be teaching out of. And we do have Genesis that's coming up, and we have we're doing Titus now. We're going to be doing 2 Timothy. It looks like we're going to also be doing Exodus. Plus, we're going to be probably doing Proverbs and then likely Jeremiah. So we got a lot of stuff that we're going to be doing. If we do Jeremiah, I'm going to do that in bigger chunks, because it'll just make it a little more fun to go through and maybe encourage you to study it more in depth on your own. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. All right. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Knock, knock.
Hello,
this is David.
Senor. Let me in the door. This is Senor Robo in San Diego.
What are you doing?
Your trivia.
Oh, my brother. How are you? By the way, are you listening to the show on the internet, on the app, or how are you listening to the show? Because the internet's been out here.
Yeah, I am listening. The internet is back up. I am listening on hemustincrease.org, which is a shameless plug for your lovely ministry.
Ah, that's so cool. You know, you can also download our app for free. Just let you know, Robo. I mean, it's free. It's free. Just let you know.
I have the app as well. Okay. And it's absolutely amazing. The technological wonders that the DSC has is groundbreaking. So.
There's no limit to our spending, and actually, there's no beginning to it either. Okay, exactly. Here you go. You know that well. Who was Abraham's second full-fledged, completely honorable wife? Was it Sarah, Hagar, or Keturah? Genesis 25:1.
The second full-fledged wife would be Keturah, David.
That is correct, Amundo! You are right, sir. That's good that you picked that up because, I mean, he did have a marriage contract with Hagar, but it wasn't quite the same situation. Keturah was the new one to go into place and to not replace, but to be the next one that Abraham was with. Excellent job. How are you doing, Roba? How are you feeling?
I am doing well. Thank you for the prayers. I actually had a little bit of bout of the flu last week, and so, but I've gotten over that and back up and ready to keep fighting the good fight.
All right. That's awesome. And we love you, brother. And I want people praying for my buddy. You got to pray. You got to pray for Robo. You just have to pray for him. He's a blessing. He's got his job going on. They got different things taking place. And just lift him up. You don't have to spend 4 hours praying for him. You can mention him. Noah would appreciate that. You could mention him.
If you want to do 4 hours, I'm not going to stop you, but that's a little much.
Excellent. Excellent job. It's awesome to hear from you. Great job.
It's always a pleasure to hear from you and to listen to your show pretty much on a daily basis.
Yeah, I appreciate that, bro. God bless you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So that's wonderful news that apparently that is working now. So that's good, right? Good news there. All right. Let's finish off on this text. This is just so. See, you didn't see the first part. You thought that was hard. Wait, there's this. This is. I know it's like you're sitting there thinking, well, why are you laughing? The reason that I laugh when I'm teaching this is because I am guilty of all of this. Not some of this. I'm guilty of all of this. I'm not laughing because I think it's funny that you and I go through this and go, ouch, ouch, ouch. I'm just laughing because I'm always going, ouch, about this. It's like, hey, look, they're writing about my life in the book. This is chapter 42. Now we're at verse 7. And this is what it says. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and with your two friends. For you have not been right in what you've said about me, as my servant Job was. Compared to Job, just so you can catch this, the three friends were off in la-la land. Eliphaz, Bildad, and then Zophar were completely wrong. Why? Because they were assessing for Job what God was doing to Job, and they weren't even close. So God turns his attention after kind of dropping it on Job. He turns to Eliphaz, and he says, like, this is this exchange. God, now, look at this is merciful because God's still talking to Eliphaz. But God turns his attention to Eliphaz, and he says, I'm quite plainly, I'm really not happy with you and your two friends. You haven't spoken right about me. It wasn't that they didn't know who God was, and it wasn't that they weren't saved. That is wrong on both accounts. Rather, it is this. They spoke about a situation in which God had given them no knowledge. Let me say that again. They spoke about a situation in which God had given them no knowledge, and they claimed wisdom about it. So you read that and you think, how many times have I spoken to a situation in the name of the Lord, thinking that all of my wisdom has reached me to that plateau without giving God the space? Because, after all, well, I've been a Christian for 45 years. I got multiple degrees. I teach all the time. Blah, blah, blah. I should know. I don't know anything more or less than anybody else. We're all doing our best to draw closer to the Lord, every one of us. And there's not one of us that is without fault. Not one, except for Jesus. And every time we think we've reached a certain level, I was just sharing this with Kurt yesterday. No matter how close you get to the Lord, it's the most profound element. The closer you get to the pure light of the Lord, the more your dirt reflects. So you know you're getting closer to the Lord when you look at yourself and go, yikes. It's a good thing I'm saved by grace and that this is the sanctification process or I'd be in trouble. And so these guys acted like they knew what was going on with Job. I promise you, God didn't come down and visit with them and say, hey, I'm going to brag about Job, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to rip Job to pieces because that's not what happened. God's bragging about Job, and they're telling Job, it's because you're a sinner. How about this? It was because he was a saint, not a sinner. How about them apples? That's why he went through it. He went through it because he was doing so good. God had confidence for him to get through the initial test. Then the rest of it wasn't maybe as good. Let's say he did really good on the first two-thirds. Okay. And the bottom line is that we've got to be careful when we speak into other people's situations. Unless the Lord has given you knowledge. Now, if the Lord has given you the knowledge, I've got no problem with that. The Lord does do that. He does help you. But this is how deep you better be prepared to go, because God will call you and I on the mat to account when we speak in his name about something, especially, and we ought to be careful, if we have no knowledge of it, we ought to be careful. In fact, I even am trying to work in my own life this process where when I do that, like I feel like it's important to do that, I also give it a caveat by saying, this is my take, and it might not be everything the Lord wants to communicate. And the reason is because I don't always know everything the Lord wants to communicate. I just know he's in charge, and I'm not that smart. And you know what? Neither are you. And you know what? Neither is anybody else. They just act like it. That's a big difference. You know what I'm saying? All right. So it's super important for us to grasp that. I want us to really understand and appreciate the Lord is trying to set the record straight. Job is giving his just place, acknowledging God all the way through. Let's do that. Praise, glory, and honor to him. We will sit down and be quiet when necessary. Okay, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're going to take a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Who knows when a broken heart will mend?
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.